I've never preached a message in this fashion or this way, but I felt the Lord leading me to do this morning. This is actually, I'm going to preach a message today, and it's based on the Bible, but it's also a message that my father actually gave 19 years ago. And I was felt so compelled to tell others about it because of the content and what it said. My mom sent me these, sent it to me, and I guess she was just wanting to share it. She'd found it, and she shared it with me. And I retyped it all out and formatted it the way that I knew it the best. And I've been reading over it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it gives me chills when I read the words and hear what my dad said. But he references the Bible throughout the entire thing. And what I'd like for you to do, first of all, is I'd like for you to turn to the Psalms. Chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 12 will be taking a text from, and then we'll get right into the message. And when you get there, if you're able to stand this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 33 and 12. And here the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance." Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for this opportunity to preach. God, I'm praying now that You anoint me for just a few minutes to be able to expound on this text this morning and to deliver this message in the fashion You would have it delivered in. And God, may You just be in our hearts this morning, Lord. May You draw men and women towards You, Lord, as we lift You up in everything that's done. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. This morning, the message title is a challenge to America's Christians. A challenge to America's Christians. This, like I said, this was given 19 years ago, although it was on the 4th of July when it was given. But today, as I mentioned already, we are celebrating 241 years of freedom in this country this past July the 4th as we signed the Declaration of Independence, 241 years ago. 241 years ago, our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence, and they announced to the world that this was a new nation that was being born. The United States of America was unlike any other nation that had ever been formed. It was founded upon our faith in God. Don't ever let anybody try to talk you out of that, by the way. Don't let any teacher, any professor, anybody else try to tell you this country wasn't founded on God and Christian principles, because it was. The Declaration of Independence states, "We believe these truths to be self-evident." This is a statement of faith. Furthermore, the Declaration declares and accepts the biblical truth that the Creator is no respecter of persons, that indeed all men are created equal. The Declaration then says that mankind has been given rights by the Creator. All the rights are not listed, but the most fundamental rights are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This simple and yet profound statement of faith has brought hope to millions of oppressed and downtrodden people the world over. They know that America's faith in the God-given rights of mankind can defeat the strongest armies, break the grip of evil empires, and shatter the highest wall that separates freedom from slavery. As we saw these men this morning lined up, these men were those that fought to ensure our freedoms here in the United States. No nation has inspired hope, provided opportunity, and fulfilled dreams like the United States of America. The prophetic statement of our Puritan forefather, John Winthrop, has come to pass. "We shall be a city on a hill, a light to the world," he said. Still today, the Statue of Liberty holds that light high. The inscribed message is there: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." It echoes the call of Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Is it hard then to understand the words of Patrick Henry? This great nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Psalm 33:12, just as we read, says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And the Lord was without a doubt the God of our fathers, of George Washington. George Washington said, "It's impossible to govern without God and the Bible." Thomas Jefferson said, "Can liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that those liberties are the gift of God?" In his Gettysburg Address, Abraham Lincoln said that we here highly resolve that these dead shall have not died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. America has prospered like no other nation. Within 100 years from the swearing in of our first president, the United States had become the mightiest industrial power in the world, outproducing all other industrial nations combined. When challenged by the would-be dictators in World War I and II, the United States of America emerged as a military power so awesome as to silence any threat to our liberty or to the liberty of our friends. When mocked by the communist leader Nikolai Lenin, that we would be swept into the dustbin of history. When ridiculed by the Soviet Communist Party chairman Nikita Khrushchev, that he would bury us, America accepted the challenge, and today communism is a dying system, and the Soviet Union no longer exists. Why has America been so blessed? Why has the United States been prosperous above all nations? Simply, my friends, because the United States was built upon faith in God and in the Bible. In God and the Bible. Today, those of us who understand that God is the source of our strength are greatly troubled. Even among those who reject the God of our fathers, there's an uneasiness that in spite of our present prosperity, something is going wrong in our beloved nation. And the foundations of our house are being eaten away by some unidentified vermin. As people of God, we know what that vermin is. As children of the light, we see in the dark corners and in the hidden underpinnings the steady eating away, the nonstop devouring of the very mortar and stone that was laid by our Christian founders. That vermin is the ungodly sins that have been allowed to flourish in our country. In the past, when sins were committed, they were identified as sins, even by the sinner. It was expected that sinners was to repent. Today, sins are called rights. Today, sins are called alternative lifestyles. Today, sins are made legal and have the protection of laws. Today, sins are become virtues, while virtues have become sins. God says in Isaiah 5 and 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." When our forefathers wrote the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, they said that it was for them and for their posterity. You and I are their posterity. They paid for our freedom in blood. Young lives by the thousands have been sacrificed that you and I could sit here today as free people. The hopes and dreams of countless American boys were given up on the battlefields so that you and I could have the freedom to experience ours. This sacrifice of American blood deserves better than what we are allowing in our nation today. Look at the flag. We said the pledge to it this morning. Look at those red stripes that are going through the flag. That represents the blood that was put into those stripes in Old Glory. See the stars? Think of the lives it cost to secure those there. See the white? Think of the purity of God's word upon which our government was built. That's what our flag represents this morning. How long will she wave? How long will freedom stand in a nation bombarded by unrepentant sin? It would be easier if we were bombarded by guns and rockets. We would all rush to the defense of our beloved country. With the help of God, we would prevail as before. But today, the enemy is within, and God's people are concerned but unmoved. Alarmed but not taking a stand. Attacked but putting up no resistance. Are we worthy to be the posterity of our patriotic, God-fearing forefathers? Are we worth the blood of the youth of past generations that was poured out for us? It seems that this generation of Christians has forgotten not only the blood shed by our forefathers, but even the blood shed by Christ for our sins. Christian Americans, sin destroys a soul. Sin destroys a nation. Christ died because of sin. God hates sin. Christians who have the mind of Christ hate sin. Christians who have the mind of Christ hate sin, but homosexuality marches proudly in the streets of America today. Where is Christian outrage? Pornography leers from every newsstand, movie theater, and television station. When my father first delivered this, the internet was not what it is today. Nowadays, it leers from your cell phone and from your internet, from your computer. Where is righteous anger? The nation is awash in the innocent blood of the unborn. Where are the tears and the sobs of God's people? The Bible is banned in public schools of America. Where are the demands for it to be returned? Christians are mocked in the very nation given to them by their forefathers. Where are the courageous? Where are those with the sword of the Lord, the eternal word of God in their hand? Where are those empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to denounce sin, to make no apologies for what is right, to stand for God, to look the devil in the eye and not blink, to be the posterity of Washington, Jefferson, and Franklin, and Lincoln, to guarantee freedom to ourselves and to our posterity? The courageous has to be us. There is no one else. Let us heed the call of God before it's too late. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Unless God's people come out from among the world and take their stand for righteousness, we will be the generation that witnesses the death of the American dream. We will give our posterity a return to sin, darkness, oppression, and paganism. So lift up your heads, Christian Americans. Pick up your Bible and go on the offense. Your forefathers paid a terrible price for your freedom. Can you do less than they? Can you love your country less than they? Can you love your children and grandchildren less than they? Can you love your Savior less than they? You have a glorious and an honorable legacy of liberty. Don't let it be taken from you. Protect, defend, and preserve it intact for your posterity. That is the gift of your fathers. That is the gift of God Almighty. Friends, the message is not changed. The message is the same. All throughout the history of the United States of America, God has told His people, listen, turn from your sins. Repent from your sins. Humble yourselves. Repent, and I will hear from heaven. And the Lord can heal this land. It seems like we're living in the worst time ever. And every generation says the same thing. This is the worst I've ever seen. I could never believe just a few years ago that we would be allowing same-sex marriage in this country. That law has been there ever since God instituted it at the beginning when He created man and woman. That a man and a woman would be the rightful way to be married. The sanctity of marriage. The sanctity of life. Today we're allowing all these unborn children to be murdered inside the mother's womb. And we call it their right. Their right to murder a child. It's not a right. It may be in the eyes of the law, but not in the eyes of God. Friends, I want you to know today that if we don't stand up for what's right, if we don't live the life that the Christian should live, if we don't stand on the Word of God and do what God's Word says, if we don't stand up and declare the truth of the gospel because the world does not have that truth. We studied in Sunday school this morning, only the Christian has the privilege of having the Holy Spirit living inside of them. If the Holy Spirit is not living inside of you, you cannot see the truth. You're blinded to the truth. But praise God, the Christian, their eyes have been opened. I once was blind, but now I see. Now the Holy Spirit has revealed to me the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's purity, the truth of God's holiness, and it must be declared on this nation today. If we allow it to keep going like it's going, we are going to see this country come to an end. We are going to see God turn His back upon this country. We are going to see God tell us, listen, I gave you chance after chance after chance, and you kept denying me. You kept turning your back on me. You kept bowing down to false idols. You kept keeping unrepentant sin in your heart. And I'm no longer going to put up with it. That day can and will come if Christians don't stand up and do something about it. And we can sit here all day long and we can shake our heads and click our tongues and shrug our shoulders and say, oh, that's terrible, that's awful, it ought not to be that way. But if that's all we do, that's what's going to happen. If that's all we do is just sit here and say, oh, woe is me. Oh, the times are bad. It didn't used to be this way. Friends, we're going to say that until the Lord allows our enemies to come in and destroy us. Are we going to allow that to happen after seeing these men that gave their lives, that came and gave a portion of their lives to fight for our freedoms, to allow us to have this opportunity to sit in here and worship this morning? It's not like this in other countries. As I mentioned, in Kazakhstan, where it's illegal to even share the gospel with others, as they go and they find the Word of God so precious to them. Whereas today we see it as nothing. We won't even pick it up except for on a Sunday morning when we come to church. That's how much we see it nowadays. Friends, we need to get back to the way things once were. Listen, somebody accused me of preaching Grandpa's religion. You better believe it. You better believe I preach Grandpa's religion. Because those people in that day, they knew what God's Word said. They lived what God's Word said. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and they lived a life filled with the Spirit of God. Why do we see God smiling on our nation for all those years and allowing the United States to conquer our enemies and to have the freedoms we have? Because we had men and women who understood and stood for the ways of God. But today it seems the church is crumbling. The foundation is crumbling. The Lord said that Satan could not prevail against the church. The gates of hell could not prevail against it. And that's true. But the freedoms that we enjoy of assembling ourselves together and of having families and having the freedoms that we do to do the things that we do, those can be taken from us if we don't stand up for what is right. I'm not coming up here and claiming to be a Jefferson or a Lincoln or a Washington. But what I'm claiming today is I want to take the truths of God's Word and stand on them and stand solid and declare to the world, thus saith the Lord, this is what God says. Amen. And if every Christian would take that attitude and would take that truth and stand up and declare the gospel to this lost and dying world, this world living in darkness, if we would stand up and declare, this is the truth of the gospel, this is what you need to know, and understand that there's coming a day where you will be judged for your sins, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will pay the price for those sins, and the wages of sin is death. And death leads to hell. And that is where everyone will go in this world that forsakes God and does not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to redeem them from their sins. We must declare that, and we must live that life and live the life as a Christian should live in this world of darkness. That's why He said we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the world. The world needs some flavor, and it needs to be the flavor of Christ. And it comes from His people, Christians. And we, if you're saved today, we are the church. Not this building. That building where they're going to destroy, where all those people were killed, that was not the church, that was their building they met in. The church is still here. And the church will always be. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But friends, we better stand up today and live the life that we are to live if we want to keep enjoying these freedoms. And I want to ask them this morning to come and get an invitation song. And I know this has not been much of a gospel message. But I do want to declare to you this morning, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there will be a day where you will stand before a righteous judge. And you will be judged for your sins. And if you've not been saved, you will be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. You will be cast into a lake of fire where you will burn for eternity. where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where their worm dieth not. What an awful, awful thing to think about. And that's for eternity. So I'm going to ask you this morning, as they give the invitation song, what are we singing, brother?
230 in the inspirational. The Savior's waiting.
230 in the inspiration hymnal. Let's all stand together. I'm going to pray. And if you need help, you come down. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're asking for your help today. Lord, we've delivered the message, Lord, in the fashion we thought it needed to be delivered in. Lord, we've spoke the word of God. Lord, we put the gospel out there. God, the call now, Lord, is in your hands. Lord, we just trust you to do your part, Lord, and that's to convict and to convince men of their sins, Lord. And if there's one here today, God, that needs to be saved, may this be the day, Lord, that conviction drives them to their knees, Lord, and they repent of those sins and turn to Christ to save them. Lord, if there's one today that needs help, would you lead them to this altar? Help us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we sing, if you need help, you come down this morning.